Good morning. It's great again to be here this morning and to worship the Lord with you. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you so much. I thank you, Lord, that this body has been so long known for the way that we open up everything in prayer, that we spend time looking for you, for your guidance, for your word, looking for the face of the living God. And I thank you, Lord, that we offer up all these things to you. I pray, Father, that you would open up hearts, minds, and souls to great truths of what it is that you have to offer us. Father, I thank you that you care. I thank you that before the foundations of the earth, that you made all these things possible. That you knew what was going to happen. You knew what was going to transpire. You knew what was going to take place. And still you made it anyway. And Lord, thank you. We're humbled by your love and by your glory and by your graciousness towards us. Thank you for treating us not as our sins deserve, but in accordance with your great mercies and your great love. Thank you, Lord, that you hear and that you look for the lost soul who needs you and who cries out. Thank you that you don't turn them away. Thank you that though the light is flickering and almost out, that you won't snuff it out. That a wounded and bruised reed, that you won't break it. But you'll come alongside and you'll build it up. Thank you that you are the loving God who cares and who sees and who provides. Thank you, Father, for all these things and more. We pray now, open our eyes, our ears, our minds, and our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. This week, as I was going through and reading, I was been reading through Exodus, and with everything that, with even last week's message about the two different enemies that we fight against, and hopefully you're not giving in to that second enemy. Hopefully you're keeping that enemy dead, namely ourselves. The thing that I was reminded of as I was reading through Exodus was, as I saw the record of it, was when they were coming out of Egypt. And I saw how they were liberated, how God had promised these people who had been in slavery, He had promised them deliverance. He had promised them something, and that was freedom. He had promised them to set them free. For 400 years, 430 to be exact, as the Bible says, they had been stuck in Egypt. And they were there. When they were there originally with Joseph, he was the man. He was God's chosen vessel to save not just the Israelites, but primarily so, but also the Egyptians and many of the people around that surrounding area during 7 years of famine. And I think sometimes we kind of gloss over that and we don't think about that. 7 years of famine. There's nothing that'll grow. There's no water. It's a terrible time. And here God had provided for His people, but also for those who are not His. The Egyptians worshipped other gods. And I thought of that as I was thinking about preparing all these things. I've named my message simply freedom, dot, 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 dot. And then the second part of it is what we do every month, which will be the second part of the message, will be remember. Or as the way that I put it in here, remember? Exclamation, question, exclamation. Freedom. Freedom is an important thing. If you've ever been in a situation or if you've been in your life where you were free from freedom, then you might appreciate freedom all the more. I think about our dear brother who's in Iran and who can't get out of there and who's in prison and who's brutalized every day simply because he names the name of Jesus. And it's even more closer because they chose, out of all that, they're American citizens, they were foreigners who came here, but they chose Idaho, my home state, where a lot of my family, most of my family, my immediate family are. And they're from there. And so it's a little bit closer to home when I think about that. That, hey, my, not only as a fellow American, a fellow Idahoan, but a fellow Christian as well. Our brother in Christ, keep him in prayer. I think his name is Yusuf, but I don't remember what his last name is. But keep him in prayer as he struggles through this, so God can do whatever he is that he's going to do. But I thought about freedom. I thought about that. Freedom. And I think, in accordance with last week's message about the different enemies that we have, namely the enemy himself, Satan, and ourselves that we have sometimes, I thought about freedom. I thought about people that I know, that are dear to me, that are not free. They're free, but they're not free. They're in the grips of other things. And they've been that way for a long time. Some of them are Christians, some of them are not. This last week I was refraining from sharing the praise of this week. I got a chance to go. I spent some time, some vacation time, and went up to Idaho and made a quick trip. It was a long trip. It was a lot of driving. But I got to see my brother. My brother's been incarcerated. He's the one that I asked for prayer for. His name is Mark. And I didn't know for sure what it was that I was going to see or who it was that I was going to see when I went there. But the idea of freedom was so much more important as I thought about where he was. We thought that he was going to be set free on his own recognizance a couple of weeks ago. It wasn't so. And so did he. So I wasn't sure what I was going to find. My brother has kind of refrained from Christ, if you will. Most of the rest of my family is saved. He's my one brother. And I've got another brother that's, I don't know which side of the fence he's on, let's put it that way. But he was one that's always pushed back. And his big thing was his alcoholism. That part kept him ensnared, kept him trapped, kept him a captive for the longest time. And so when I went to see him, I didn't know what to expect. I hadn't seen him in a couple of years, maybe a little bit longer than that. But I didn't know what to see. I didn't know what was I going to see somebody who was angry and mad and not wanting to hear anything that I had to say, maybe not even wanting to see me. Because like Joseph, he was stuck in jail for a while, and he really didn't, other than his wife, he didn't really have any visitors. And so I was kind of reluctant, but you know, God had placed it on my heart that this time had come up, and I as I told people at work, I unexpectedly had vacation time, so I took it. And so I went to go see him. And when I was there, and it was my turn, he didn't see us at first. He just saw his wife, and he was happy to see them. And then my brother, who has had surgery, he was overweight and fighting diabetes most of his life, since I can remember, since he was a young. Probably 8 or 9 years old. He's been struggling with this. And he got that lap band surgery, and he's been set free from all that weight. He's down to about 160 some pounds. So he's half of the man that he used to be, in a sense. And even he says, well, you know, I'm not even trying anymore. It just keeps coming off. But you know, as I was there and getting there, I was kind of conflicted because I didn't know what I was going to find. And it was hard, because as I looked into his eyes, at first he saw his wife, and he was thrilled about that. And they had put him in a place, just to let you know, if you've ever been through Idaho and you've been up, gone through Lewiston, there's a little town called Council. It's kind of like at the edge of the wilderness. And he's there, stuck at the edge of the wilderness. There's not a whole lot to do there to begin with. And on top of that, he's incarcerated. So he sees my sister-in-law, and then kind of my brother had sat in a position, and with a little window, he couldn't really see. And then my brother stood up, and my sister-in-law moved in such a way, and my brother, hey, that kind of looks like my brother, my big brother. And my sister-in-law played along, and she goes, oh, no, that's not him. Well, it sure looks like him, kind of, a lot smaller, but looks like my brother. And she played along with him for a little bit, and then she said, no, it's my time's up, so it is your brother. My brother spent some time with him. Then it was my turn, and when he saw me, the first thing I saw was he still has a sense of humor. My brother Mark he used to crack me up because of he had a certain way of laughing that just brought laughter to my heart. The way that when he laughed gregariously. He laughed with everything that he had. I've had other friends like that, and when they laugh, they just let it all out. And it was really one of those hilarious laughs that you just have to join in with if he's really going on one. And he hadn't seen me, and keep you in mind, he hasn't seen me in a couple of years probably. And this is what he sees. Okay? The last time he saw me, I think he's used to seeing me with a little bit of facial hair, but he's not seen me like this. And so he sees me, and he just starts cracking up. And I just start laughing with him. And he goes, I won't use the language they use, but he goes, man, he goes, you really fit up here well in Northern Idaho, looking like that. To which I responded, Shalom Aleichem. Which is a Muslim greeting. Okay. So we just kind of, and he laughed even harder, and we laughed for a little bit. So the first few seconds, and the ice was broken, and we picked up right where we left off years ago. And so it was great to be reminded of his freedom in that sense. But when I look into his eyes and when I think of it, the memory of looking into his eyes, what I saw anguish, I saw pain, I saw longing, I saw fear, I saw desperation, I saw all those things. Yeah, I just saw, and it was hard to look into his eyes when me and my brother were going home. We said the same thing. I told him, I said, you know, Steve, it's really hard to look into his eyes. He goes, man, I know, I couldn't. I had to keep looking away because it was just, I just wanted to reach to there and hug him. I said, yeah. So we had freedom, but we couldn't even hug each other. We couldn't touch one another, and we couldn't love on one another like we so desperately need. And so we have freedoms in certain ways, but in a way, he's in a jail, but he's been in another jail for most of his life, and that is alcoholism. And I share this with you just to share a portion of my life with you, but also to share that the one thing that I was most inspired about and how God works is that I was talking to him and I said, man, I'm really bummed that you weren't able to be let go on your own recognizance. He goes, yeah, I was kind of counting on that and pretty sure I was going to be able to be out of here. So it was kind of a surprise and a shock when the judge threw the book at him. But, you know, the one thing that he said, it was surprisingly shocking, but it was also pleasant to hear. Because his very next statement after, yeah, it really sucks having to be here, he said, but God must have other plans. He's been raised in a Christian home, and my mom, when she writes to him, she is not shy about telling him, you need to give your life to Christ. You need to follow after him. You need to serve the Lord. But she also fills it with love, how much she loves and misses her son. And I saw this thing that had brought him to this place. I saw his anguish for his family. And we talked and shared. But the idea that God was working. And I'm thrilled that when we came away from there, that we were able to walk away, that he was receptive to what we had to say. Part of the story was my sister-in-law was sharing with us that when he was going through the first part of his incarceration, that they had programs that he had to go through, and he did the bare minimal. But the one thing they didn't have anything to answer the question, as she put it, for him, why was he the way that he is? Why is he doing those things? Why is he an alcoholic? Why? And he really didn't admit that totally while we were there, at least not to me. We didn't really talk about that much. But I did share this with him. I said, you know, Mark, it's sometimes when you're on that merry-go-round, it's not why that matters. Because things come in your life whether it's this or whether it's other things, whether it's pain, whether it's tragedies, whatever it is, when we get stuck and focused on the why, we've already lost the battle. It's great if we get the answer. But more often than not, we don't. And really, in reality, we don't really need to know why. God never says He's going to tell us why. God never said why Joseph had to spend time in prison. God never said to any of the people that are, like Paul, why he had to suffer. He just said, "You're going to." And it was an amazing thing to watch in that exchange that he was receptive to those things that we were saying. And I said, Mark, I've been an alcoholic. And you don't know how good that is to say that, to be able to say that. I've been an alcoholic. I know what it's like to have to, at the end of the day, in my case, it was the end of the day that was the important part of me, the important part of that drink to end the day with. And because I depended on that. That was my dependence. That was my dependency. That got me through the rest of my day. Whether it was one or two or whether it was 18, whether it was whatever, that's what I was dependent on. And I told him, I said, "Mark, it doesn't matter why. What matters is that you acknowledge that you are and that you want something done about it. And what matters is when you come to God and you come clean and you tell Him, 'I don't know how, I don't know why, and I don't care why. I just want to be free. I want freedom.'" I said, and hopefully I pray that He does get you to that point where you understand that your need, your great need for freedom. And there's only one thing that can free you. And I told him, I said, "Mark, I used to be an alcoholic. I can say that confidently. And I can say that because I know in whom I have believed. And He took it away. And I believe that. I believe that. I have other areas in my life that I struggle with. But we all have those areas where we struggle with. Sometimes it's just the way that we treat other people. Sometimes it's who knows what. Sometimes it's sexual immorality. Sometimes it's substance abuse. Sometimes it's other things. But the one thing that came to mind was this freedom. What is freedom? What is it all about? What is the real Christian message? The Christian message is really two things. Forgiveness. It's forgiveness. In part of my message, I talked about Horatio Spafford's song, how he said he marveled at the idea of the truth, the great truth, that on that cross, on that day, was nailed, not in part, but in full, all of your sins. Or in his case, all of my sins. Not in part, but the whole, everything. Including that addiction, including those behaviors, including those histories that sometimes haunt us and that we allow because we open the door to that. We're slaves to those things. We're slaves. "Well, I'm an addict and I'm always going to be an addict." Yes, you are. I was watching a little bit of a football, they were Football Life. There's this show that they show these guys that play football. And they were interviewing one of the owners of the San Francisco 49ers. In one part, he said an amazing thing. He said a fascinating thing. He goes, "You show me a good loser, and I'm going to show you a loser. You show me a good loser, and I'm going to show you a loser." And it's the same thing. You show me somebody who says and has been drilled into their heads and in their hearts and into their soul and into their spirit that I'm an addict and that's all I am. And I'm going to show you an addict. My mom and dad did it this way and this is the way that I do it. You're right. Because that's where you're at. My family history is this. This is the way it's always been done. This is, and I'm just never going to amount to anything else other than that. You're right. because that's what you've chosen. And if you're lost, if you have never come to Christ, those things will overtake your whole entire life. And you have no power against it. Behaviors, same thing. These are behaviors that I can't change. You're right, you can't. And you won't, as long as you believe that you can't. I'm not giving you a feel-good type message or anything like that. I'm just dealing with facts, with truths. Truths that are written in Scripture. If you're lost, you don't know Christ, then you're going to be stuck in that place. And then it is appointed for man to die once and then the judgment. And you'll still be stuck in that place. And it'll be worse. But if you're a Christian, freedom is part and parcel of Christianity. The first part is forgiveness. Another great truth of Christianity is freedom. Liberty. You have freedom. It says in Webster's Dictionary that the definition of freedom is the quality or state of being free. The quality or state of being free as, i.e., or an example, the absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. What does that mean? Well, if you sit and think about it, you can make choices, you can live your life, you can do things without being coerced, without all these pressures, without all these things, because you're free to make them now. You're free. You've been set free. You're free to do that. It says liberation from slavery or restraint or from the power of another. Liberation from slavery or restraint, whether it's self-inflicted slavery or restraint, or from the power of another. That's what freedom is. When you're lost, you're in slavery to yourself, and you're in slavery to the world, and you're in slavery to the enemy. You're stuck there. You got no choice, because that's the way we are. We're all fallen. We're all this way. But when we're free, when we're Christ, when we are in Christ, we're liberated from slavery. Slavery from the self. Slavery from constraint. Now therein lies a little danger there. We're free. Can we go back down that road? Absolutely you can. But what are you going to find there? What are you going to find there? Something different? You're going to find a new high? You're going to find a new thrill? You're going to find a new experience? No. It's the same old thing. I had a friend at work that told me that when they were addicted to cocaine for the longest time, and this person said, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, that was a cool thing to do, man. That's what I was doing. And they told me, you know, that first hit that you get, that first high that you get, I sought that and I never found it again. It took more and more of this, and then I had to add this, and I had to, and it just kept getting worse and worse. And that's the truth about these things. That's the truth about being enslaved. That's the truth about sin. That's the truth about being in the world without Christ. But for a Christian, it shouldn't be so. For the Christian, we're free. And I've heard Pat say it many, 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 many times, but do you believe it? Do you know it? And it's not even enough to believe it. It's that you have to own it. You have to know it and live it. Well, you don't know my life, and you don't know me, and you don't have any business going down this road. Well, I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me. So you're not alone. you can live this life in freedom. I want to focus the message around what is written in the book of John, chapter 8. In John chapter 8, Jesus is doing what Jesus does. He's teaching. He's loving. He's guiding. He's illuminating the hearts of men and of the world, the great light that He is. And He's showing what is to come. And He says here in John chapter 8, starting in verse 31, Jesus is having an interchange with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and He says, Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed in Him. Now that's important. They believed in Him. They believed what He was saying. They believed Him. They took Him at His word. He says, if you abide in My word, then you are truly My disciples of Mine. If you abide. And I'm sad to say that many times I've forgotten that. And I find when I'm struggling the most is because I've forgotten this. If I abide. And if I don't, what? Well, here comes the trouble. But He says, if you abide in My word, then you are truly disciples of Mine. So if you abide, if you abide, then you are truly disciples of His. You'll begin to learn after His teaching, to seek after Him. He'll begin teaching you personally through His Word. Because when you abide in Him, He abides in you. And His Spirit abides in you as well. Just as we just sang a little bit ago, Emmanuel, God with us. It's not just Christ. Christ is not alone in the Godhead. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the three are in unity. The three are within. And He says, you will be disciples of Mine if you abide in My word, then you're truly My disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It shall make you free. Eleutheros. Eleutheros is the Greek. It's the Greek word for free. It's an adjective, properly free, liberated, unbound, unshackled. Figuratively, free to realize one's destiny in Christ. Eleutheros. We're free. It says, they answered Him, we, and these are of course the Pharisees, we are Abraham's offspring and have never been enslaved to anyone. They forgot about 430 years of their history. We have never been enslaved to anyone and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free? You realize what they were saying? I'm already free. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm free. The boastful pride of life. I'm free. I don't know what you're talking about. How is it that you say this? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave to sin. And that's true for the Christian. That's true for the believer. That's true for the follower of Christ. When we give in to sin, we become slaves. We've allowed ourselves to be enslaved again. But Jesus says, and the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If you've been set free, you are free indeed. Indeed, ontos, the adverb, to properly exist, to really be, exist as reality. This can be your new reality from this point on, from this message on, but you have to take it on yourself. I know that there are some of you that are struggling with things. Family histories, alcoholism, drug addiction, porn addiction, anger, bitterness, all those things that Carl talks about, that people struggle with, anxiety, fear. They can be sin in your life when you allow them to be the God in your life, because you're worshiping another God, you become an idolater. This week I spent a lot of time thinking and just asking God, please. Because Lord, I don't even know if I have faith. That scripture that's written in there where Jesus Himself said, when I return, will I even find faith? It really bugs me. It makes me to struggle. Because I include myself on the other half of that question. Lord, do I even know what faith is? Do I even have the faith? Do I even know what it is to be a Christian? Do I even know You? Do I even know what it's like to be saved? Do I really know that? I don't want to struggle with these things. I don't want to drag Your name through the mud. I don't want these things in my life. And I know that I'm free. But do I really know that? Do I really know it, Lord? Please help me to grasp hold of this. Please help us to grasp hold of this. There's so many people that are struggling with these things. Help us to know this and to walk in them and to move forward from this place. It says that we're free. Jesus says that you're free indeed if you're His disciple, if you abide in His Word, and if He sets you free. I don't care what the devil says, you're free. I don't care what your other enemy, you and me, say, we're free. And we're free indeed. That's the reality that we can live in. We can be in that reality of freedom and walk in the freedom of liberty and all these things. We can go to that thing that we used to struggle with and say, there it is, I don't want you anymore. Be gone. Why? Because now we have the freedom to do so. Now we have the liberty and the authority to do so in Christ. In Galatians 5, 1 through 13, just to buttress up what Jesus said, Paul understands this idea. Paul gets this. And he wants the Galatians to know this. And he wants you to know this. And he wants for me to know this. He says in verse 1 of chapter 5 of Galatians, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. I love the redundancy. Why did He set you free? For freedom's sake. So that you could be free. He set you free so that, guess what? You could be free. That's why He set you free. He brought you freedom so that you can be free. Not so that you can be enslaved. Not so that you can be encumbered by all these other things. But rather that you should be free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject against to a yoke of slavery. You know why that's important? You know why Paul has written this and why that's so important to us as Christians? Because now we have authority to do that. We now have the authority to do that. We can pray against those family things. We can pray against those addictions. We can pray with authority to have those things removed. Those things that have encumbered our lives. Those things that have tried to overtake us. If you allow that little crack to open up, it can get wider and wider and wider. It's just like when a dam bursts and there's a little fissure in it. For years and years and years, that little fissure can be just a little tiny fissure and it means absolutely nothing. But the more water that's put into that reservoir, the more water that's put in there, that little fissure can slowly increase in size. And it's a good picture for these type of things that overtake us. Because it begins to grow, just a little tiny thing that no one even notices. And then before you know it, it's a little bit bigger. And then years go by and it's even bigger now. And then one day, crash! Boom! It is flooded. The dam destroyed, that which held it back no longer has the power to do it. It's lost its integrity. It's lost its authority. It's lost its power. Don't be in that place. Paul says, look, don't allow yourself to be put back into that yoke. You have a yoke. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Because you can be on the one side, and Jesus, who's much bigger, Jesus, who's much stronger, Jesus, who knows everything, He knows everything about you. Everything. And He knows everything about me. And it makes me wonder even more, why would you even love me? But He knows, and He's on the other side of that tandem, and He carries that yoke for you. That's why it's easy. And my burden is light. What I lay on you, hey, it's going to be easy. It's like wearing a shirt. When was the last time you struggled with wearing a shirt? Put on the Lord Jesus. Put Him on. It's not that big of a struggle. He says, I'll carry it. I can do it. Paul says, don't go again to that yoke of slavery. Look down here in verse 13, just as he's making his point, even more so. Why? Because, he says, for, in verse 13, for you were called to freedom. Not only did Christ come to set you free, and free indeed, but you were called to freedom. When he calls you so that you can be free. Free from what? From all those things that kept you from Him. You can be free. He says, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Serve one another. That's what it's for. And I hope, and I want you to leave encouraged if you're struggling with these things. And I know that some of you are. And I know that some of the people that may listen to this message, that they are, that they're struggling with these things. That if you don't know Christ, you can. Second part of my, the title of my message is, first part was freedom. The last part is, ... Remember? Or, remember? Freedom! We're here, this time, for the first of the month. We do this every first part of the month. Turn with me to, Luke. And remember Paul has just said, serve one another. He says, don't let that freedom be turned into an opportunity for the flesh. That's going to take some wisdom. And I know somewhere you can go to find wisdom. I know someone who you can ask, and they'll give you wisdom. He says, don't turn that into, but love one another and serve one another. In Luke chapter 22, and 14 through 20. And when the hour had come, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, you shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. This Passover that they were about to partake in, he says, with me here, physically with you, you won't partake of it again until I come back. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. Take this and share it among yourselves. Serve one another. Share with one another. Love one another. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them. And we read that somewhere else in Acts too, at the end of a shipwreck, or right before the shipwreck, where Paul, like his master, divine, whom he had come to know so intimately, who had delivered him from all his things, who had granted him freedom, and he understood that. And even in his waning years, he still had come to know Christ so intimately that he could still at that point, after writing these epistles, after saying all these marvelous things, after enduring all the beatings, the jail, the near-death experience or the death experiences or whatever it was that he suffered, all the persecution, all the chasing after, all the shipwrecks, all the snake bites, all those things, he had come to a place where he knew his master. When he had taken some of this and he gave thanks, and Paul did the same thing, he came to a place to know that even in the middle of this thing, I can give thanks. And I want to be like my master. Because what did he come to do? Jesus came to give hope to people with shipwrecked lives. People who were not free, who were slaves. People who were like you and me, who needed freedom, who needed liberty, who needed salvation, who needed freedom. And he came to give it. He says, when he had taken this, he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You see, remember. Remember. What is it that Jesus has done? He came to free you. He came to free us. He came to free us from the power of sin and of death and of this life and the spirit of the age. Christianity is under attack by the world more and more and more. And when you stand for Christ and Christ alone, you're going to be beaten down. Remember, you have tribulation. Part and parcel. But Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten. Took the cup. And he said, "This cup which is poured out for you in the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." And I asked the worship team to come up. And we're going to do a song. And I want you to think about it. I want you to remember Christ. And maybe there's somebody within the hearing of this message that has never given their life to Christ. But God is drawing them right now. And God is showing to them the sinful person that they are. And maybe they've never given their life to Christ. And I'm asking you to consider Christ. Consider what he said. That he came and he gave his life in exchange for yours. Like the song says, your sins can be put away, your addictions, your behaviors, your history, your family, things that have haunted you, all the things that have haunted us all the days of our lives can be put away. They have been put on the cross for you once for all. Not in part, but the whole. You're free if you're in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, if he's drawing you, then bow your heart. Bow your head and ask him to forgive you. Come to him and let him set you free so that you can enjoy freedom in this life. And for the Christian, this life will be the closest thing to hell that you've ever experienced because he has set you free. And he does that so that we can be free. There's a message that we can tell. Put those addictions and those things away. Don't let them be your God. If you are a Christian, don't let them be your God. Don't let those behaviors, those family things, but trust what is written. Do this in remembrance of me. You're free. You are free, and you're free indeed.